playing games is done. Adversaries all better run. We're coming up to reach the top. Unbeatable and we'll never stop. We're the ones in charge. Yeah. We're staying living large. Yeah. We're the one who fly. Yeah. They don't ever have a chance. Why do they even try? Everybody, yeah, yeah, yeah. Rock your body, yeah, yeah, yeah. Time to party, yeah, yeah, yeah. Cause the backseat boys are back.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Spokecast. Not sure what happened there. Thank you for tuning in. Big night tonight with Angel Metro joining us. Let's get the peeps in here. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, what up? I was going to say everything all right, but I was seeing you were having a little bit of technical difficulties there, but I'm going to go ahead and crack open a nice cold room temperature can of Red Pop and give all a shout out to my juggalos and juggalettes watching with two scoops of whoop.
Nice. Let's get a scoop of whoop in here right now. What's up, Skills?
Yo, poo poo poo. Yo, what it do, my peoples? Johnny, what it do? I'm excited. Episode 2. Let's get it. Lot to talk about.
Hell yeah. We got Angel Metro tonight. She's going to be on here in actually just
a minute.
We got
Danger Ginger in the chat. Shout out to Danger Ginger. Yo, he's in the building, yo.
Hell yeah.
Shout out.
Hell yeah.
Salute.
So here's the show tonight. We have Skywalker Rumble news. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk heel turns in a little bit. And we're going to see what Angel Metro says in reply to Ruthie J's challenge for April 27th. So that's coming up. And because of the Skywalker Rumble, I'm wearing my Obi-Wan in the beginning of Star Wars New Hope outfit. So I'm on the desert planet is how it is. And Donnie B will be on here in a little bit. Cheers to Red
Tara,
Pop.
What up? Salute, Tara.
But before we go any further, guys, let's go ahead and get Angel in here. I have so many questions I want to ask her. I'm so excited about this. Let's see if we can get her in here.
There she is. Hi, guys.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So nice to see you. Do you know Tommy Grayson and you know Skills the Great? This is Angel.
Yeah,
we know. We've met. Salute. We've been on several shows with Angel in the past, the Gathering of the Juggalos, as well as Horror Slam back in October. And, you know, I myself have always been familiar with Angel Metro because I am a big fan of deathmatch wrestling and all of the work that she does. So, you know, I'm excited to have her on personally.
Thank you for being here, Angel. So I have to say that we're very happy to have you. When we announced you, you know, everyone seemed to be so excited you were coming. I have to ask you, what made you get into pro wrestling? Can you just sort of introduce yourself to the people that might not know you and talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, hey, everyone. If we've never met, my name's Angel. So getting into pro wrestling as a kid, I grew up in the Attitude Era. So I actually was just like, it was after school, late nights. I used to like flip through the channels and like watch like Star Trek and X-Files and like Buffy and all these like, you know, weird shows. And so one night I was flipping through and I saw this like insane, like it looked like a horror movie. And I was like, oh my God, what is-? And I'm like little. I was like, this is insane. Like, what is this? You know? And I started watching and it's just like this guy threw this other guy like off this cage and all this. And it was like Hell in the Cell, like 98 with Taker and Mankind. And so that's like what got, because I always thought pro wrestling was like, well, like how we think of it like in the 80s, right? Like really bulked up, tan, like Superman kind of thing. So when I saw that, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. So that's actually the match that got me into pro wrestling. So I was a fan of that as a kid, and then I kind of fell out of it. And then I got back into it. A partner of mine, my previous partner, he was a deathmatch wrestler, and unfortunately he passed away a few years ago. Yeah. So once he passed away, he actually had an injury, and so he was working on coming back into wrestling and had gotten into shape and stuff, but he had an underlying health condition that we hadn't known about, unfortunately, until it was too late. But when that happened, he had a lot of stuff that he wanted to do still, and so I kind of had a something in me shift, and I just decided to jump into pro wrestling and kind of carry the torch and kind of come into my own and just do this thing that I love to watch, like go on the other side of the ropes and see what it was like. So, yeah.
I have to say, I'm so impressed.
Thanks. No, so it makes sense. I was going to ask about how you got into deathmatch, but your first match that you ever seen was Mankind getting thrown off the Hell in a Cell. Like, come on.
That's like the most famous deathmatch of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was like, as a, like, even as a little kid, I was always a big fan of horror movies and like sci-fi and all of that stuff. Like I, some of my tattoos, like I have the original Evil Dead tattooed on my arm. This is Hellraiser. Like, yeah. So I was always, so I was always a really big horror fan. And so, yeah, seeing that, it kind of made me fall in love with it. It was like the perfect time and the perfect match to watch to find my little piece of pro wrestling.
Wow. Now, I see that you're advertised to wrestle Lowlife Louie Ramos coming up.
Yeah, it was just announced.
No, we're not allowing that to
happen. I'm really excited about it.
No, wow. We're canceling the match. We're calling in a bomb scare to the building. It can't happen. You're well, too pretty.
I've wrestled a few of the like OG guys so far. I would say my first big one was Madman Pondo.
Nice.
Yeah, so I've already wrestled some heavy hitters in deathmatch. Reed Bentley was another one. So yeah, I trained in the South. You know, I'm used to training with dudes much larger than me that don't hold back. So I'm kind of a hardy little perennial. I like can take a hit. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it though. Like I'm a big fan of Louie, and it's really cool to be able to step into the ring with him. I think we're gonna have a lot of fun.
If any of the three of us, me, Tommy, or Skills, were in a match against Lowlife, I would give them the advice of, no, you're not doing the match.
I won't do it.
Right. Me too. I'm not wrestling Lowie. Get the hell out of here.
Well, yeah, like I'm a big fan of his, and you know, for me, I always said like from the beginning, like I'll wrestle anybody. You know, I wanted that to be something that was a focus of my wrestling because it forces me to think outside of the box, to grow. And in some cases, it's either grow real quick or die, right? Like your opponent's really tough. Like you got to really get in there and go for it. But I love that style. Like I'm a big fan of like Homicide too. So like, it's just like right up my alley. I'm really looking forward to working with Louie and learning some stuff.
Wow. That's awesome. What do you prefer? What do you prefer? If you had your choice, like with me, I prefer to be in a tag wrestling match. Like if you had any type of match to do, what do you enjoy the most?
I think it depends on my mood. Sometimes I'm really wanting to like get into some like technical wrestling and like do that. And then sometimes I think the easiest thing to do is probably a hardcore match, just because when you have weapons, it makes things a lot easier. And you can get pretty creative sometimes with that too. I do like that element. I kind of like being thrown in unusual situations sometimes because it forces me to be creative. Like I had just wrestled a match a couple weeks ago, and it was a six man in a boxing ring that was like covered in like Legos and thumbs. It was something else, but like it made me like have to think outside of the box a lot. Like none of the normal elements were there. So yeah. I don't know. I have a really cool tag partner. We always have fun.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't know. It just depends on my mood. You know, sometimes I'm just like in a really ultra violent mood, and sometimes I just want to like get some technical wrestling in a singles. So.
A really ultra violent mood.
So you had mentioned picking up where your ex-partner had, you know, left off and everything. I find that really interesting because, you know, when myself and my brother had connected with Johnny, you know, we sort of had a similar goal in mind to sort of pick up where the Backseat Boys had left off. And part of that was, you know, connecting with guys like Homicide, like the SAT, like HC Loke. Do you find that in trying to carry on the legacy of, you know, your significant other who is no longer here, do you find yourself being challenged with, I guess, anything that I'm just going to say, do you find yourself dealing with, you know, like whether it be imposter syndrome or stage fright, or is this the life that you signed up for, or just anything like that? Or do you find it, you know, like, just talk to me about that and, you know, having a just deal with that. Like,
I mean, there's definitely some stage fright. I think that goes for pretty much the majority of wrestlers. I mean, even there's so many vets that still, you know, get nervous, which is cool. That means they still care. I love that. But they are, especially in the deathmatch world, like, you know, filling Marcus's shoes, those are massive. Like, that's how do you fill Johnny Cashmere's shoes? Like, are you kidding me? Like, right. You guys do a great job, though. I will say, you guys do an amazing job. I was like,
well, thank
I totally see
well,
it.
Thank you. Well, thank you. I didn't want to mention, I didn't want to mention him by name, but since you said it, you know, I was a big fan of Marcus Crane. You know, I don't recall if I was ever on any shows with him. I might have seen him in passing, you know, maybe just at some of the Game Changer events or any events that we might have been on. But the reason I asked that is because Marcus was such a pioneer to the scene in an era where so many guys were just trying to replicate, you know, what's the highest, you know, bump they could take. And it's like, there's so much more to deathmatch wrestling. You know, he had such a unique look. He had a unique offense. Yeah. And he was a, much like Cashmere and Trent, you know, he was a classically trained wrestler. He was trained by Chris Hero. He was trained to chain wrestle and to be able to go out there and work any kind of style. So the fact that you're, you know, doing tag team wrestling and doing death matches and everything, you know, it's more than obvious that you're more than, you know, filling the shoes set, you know, by Marcus. You know, you're embodying the, you know, the never say die attitude that he embodied, you know, in deathmatch wrestling. And let's face it, you know, women have a stigma to begin with. And you're saying, you know, screw that noise, and you're doubling down on that. So I commend you for that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I try not to look at it so much exactly as filling his shoes, because that's just like an impossible thing to do. And you're familiar with him, so you know, like, there's just never going to be a mind like his. But we did have very similar loves and passions and personality traits. And I'm creative on my own, and I have a deep passion for wrestling and deathmatch. So it's like carrying the torch, not so much filling the shoes. I think carrying the torch, being able to think of it that way, because I never want to be considered, or not even considered, but that my intention is to be like an imitation or anything like that, because that's never going to happen. It's more so my two goals in wrestling when I started, like the two things, and still truly the only thing I care about, is to make myself proud and to make him proud. And as long as I'm doing those two things, then whatever else comes at me, and it's a lot, it doesn't matter. You know, it really doesn't, because his on top of the technical wrestling, the creativity, how much he gave to wrestling as an art form, the wrestling scene lost so much because he was such a happy personality and such a loving and like just loved wrestling, just so excited about wrestling, you know. And I feel like I'm maybe a little bit more, I don't want to say shy, but reserved than he is in those situations. But I definitely do have a passion for it. The two biggest compliments, the ones I get the most often, and the two biggest ones to me personally, is one, I get a lot of people saying like, oh my God, I can't believe you did that. Like, you're really tough for taking that or for doing that or pulling that off. And that means a lot, especially as a female wrestler. I think I see myself way less in that light than everyone else. Like, I'll be going over certain things with other friends, you know, even other deathmatch wrestler friends, and they'll be like, well, make sure, you know, this and this, because, you know, you're small. And I'm like, yeah, I keep forgetting. I'm like this little blonde girl and not this like... You know what I mean? So, so that means a lot. And then the other thing is just like every once in a while when I'm like watching a match, I'll have a guy like, you know, in the locker room come up to me and be like, God, you like really love this. You're like super excited. You just like freaked out over that finish. I was like, did you see that finish? The last time that happened, it was Marcus Mathers and Darius Carter. So, you know, it was an amazing finish. But I was really excited. And they're like, you're just like really excited. And I'm kind of like, you guys not really excited about this? Like, I don't know. But yeah, so being passionate about it and being able to hold my own, you know, as I'm still a new wrestler, so I'm still learning obviously all the time, but being tough means a lot to me to hear that from people. So yeah.
You know, I haven't seen a lot of your matches, but I've gone through your social media recently, especially since I met you now. And I have to say, it comes through somehow in your pictures, in your videos, in your every, you can tell that you love wrestling. You can tell. I mean, why else would you be doing the hardcore? But I am beyond amazed at the stuff that you do.
Well, thank you. That means a lot coming from you.
do this to lift up. Let's see how you're looking up there.
Well, I'm not sure because the makeup is kind of, you can see a little bit.
Nah, you're good. Makeup, nah, yeah. You're good. Nah, Abdullah the Butcher would not be proud.
Poker chip slots, they are not.
No.
So what's up, Rich Poe? Yeah. What's up, Rich Poe? So I got to ask, I don't know if you saw last week, but Ruthie J was on here. Now, okay. Ruthie J took on Tasha Steelz at our last event for the Hybrid Spo women's title, and she did not win. So now she's going to be in a number one contender match against you if you're willing to do that match. Now, when we booked you for SPO, I know I didn't specify who you were going to be wrestling or anything yet, so I don't just want to force it on you. That's why we wanted to bring you on here and ask you. So,
sure.
Something yeah, you're up for when you get here?
I looked at a little bit of Ruthie J's matches. I think it was CCW.
Mm-hmm.
Were the ones that I looked at, and from what I saw, I mean, it looked like it would be like a really solid and challenging time for me. She seems like a brawler too, which I dig. So yeah, I'm about like being able to get in there with someone that can hold their own and like really hash it out and get some great wrestling and some hard hitting brawling. And yeah, I'm down. So I totally accept. Let's go! Like,
hell yeah!
Like, she accepts. Yeah.
I had a feeling you might. Now we got to get a match graphic made and put it out tomorrow.
Awesome.
Wow. That's phenomenal. And that your first time in SPO and you're going to potentially have a shot at the title on your next.
Yeah. That's, with us if that's you win. Amazing. That's a huge honor. And yeah, appreciate that very much. I'll do my best to, I don't know, try to get that spot, man. Ruthie J did look pretty tough. Like she was, I think she got the other two busted open pretty quick. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, NWA's Ruthie J is no joke. But I got to say, if I'm a betting man, Angel, I'm betting on you. I'm wearing my white Angel robe for you today and everything, man. I
appreciate it.
But thank you for coming on. I know you have to get going and everything, but yeah. Is there anything else you want to say just to the fans of Philly? What do they expect from you when they see you here in a few months?
Well, I was just in Philly actually last weekend. Actually, one of your guys' friends, Tara, she was there. She's awesome. Yes. She gave me a Backstreet Boys SPO shirt.
Awesome. After
my match. Yeah. I went to hug because she was handing it to me as I was leaving the ring. And I was like, I forget. I'm covered in blood here. I'll give you a little side hug.
Oh, man.
But yeah, no, I love Philly. Philly's such a down city. Like Philly, Detroit, like those are some of my favorite cities. So I'm always happy to come back. I'm super excited to be at SPO. I've had a lot of friends wrestle there before. And so I'm really excited to check it out.
Thank you. Did you meet the guy that roasts the pig in the shopping cart when you were in Philly?
No, I haven't. Is he going to be there? Because that sounds amazing.
I'm trying. You don't know what I'm basically going to have to take a billboard out on I-95 to get this guy at our event. But I am trying.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. I saw him. I was there at the Eagles tailgate and I was like right next to him. There was an actual fire in the in the cart. Yeah, dude, it was amazing. And it was a real pig.
If you ever have a shopping cart match, bring him out and then I'll ride in the shopping cart. That'd be sick. I would be down with that.
my wheels are already turning, no pun intended.
I love it.
All right, Angel, thank you. We're all huge fans of yours and big supporters. You ever need anything from us, we're all here for you. You know that.
I'll see you guys soon. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Angel. So long. Oh, that was great. Skills, isn't it fun when we have friends over to the house?
No, definitely. That's going to be a good match right there. She got to be careful with Ruthie because sometimes Ruthie ain't all smiles.
Sometimes. I'll tell you, I should have had a match graphic ready. We should have had it ready in case she said yes.
Yes.
So we could have just popped it right out. But we do have the official event poster as it stands right now. And technically, it's got them there anyway. What do you, Skills, let me ask you something. What do you think of Angel Metro in Wings?
To be honest with you, bro, it kind of reminds me a little bit like the female version of like Face.
Yes.
So it's like she's the angel and you got the devil. It's like that's a crazy combination right there. You know what I mean? And Face likes to bleed too.
I know. I know. God, could you imagine Face and Angel as a couple? It would be like the romance cover novel of the year. They would win the award.
So you got the devil and the angel.
We're putting Feral Face and Angel Metro on the cover of a romance novel.
That sounds like Mr. and Mrs. Smith, but like 2025.
I can picture that in my head, and that's perfect. That can be the front cover, them in the white.
A lot of blood. They fighting anybody? It's blood everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Jesus. I'll tell you. So, Thomas, that's a great how match. Was your weekend, my friend?
Well, Johnny, before I talk about my weekend, I think that we should segue into my personal favorite segment because, we have a lot to talk about, and I figured, a lot of bad areas.
We have a bad area to talk about.
Several bad areas. So, all right. But I digress. So for the past several weeks, we were staying out in Detroit, a.k.a. my second home. And we wrestled for several promotions over in various parts of Detroit. And let me just say, as a New Yorker, not to say that it ain't what it is, but media representation versus actual being there, Johnny, you could testify night and day. As long as you keep to yourself, you're not going to have any problems. Aside from, of course, bad areas in general, perception. So, three shows in Detroit. Actually, no, four. Two of which were for City Championship Wrestling. We wrestled for them the first Thursday and the Thursday right before we flew home. Horror Slam and We Love Wrestling in Livonia, Michigan. For Us Wrestling in Wyandotte. And also, we wrestled for Grindhouse Pro, which was just outside Louisville, which was in Indianapolis. So that was all while we were out of town. So we were able to get five matches in about a 10-day span, which, back in the territory days, that just meant you were really lousy. But in 2025, that just means that you're really busy and you know how to network. We were able to fly home just this past Friday. And this past weekend, of course, good old Bronx, New York. Thus concludes bad area. Because once again, perception is reality. And as a New Yorker, I felt right at home in the Bronx, in the Boogie Down. But for all you scared folks out there, like a certain somebody in our family who I'm not going to name names, but Brian Logan... These would all be considered bad areas and unworthy of his time. Skills, you got any comments about any of these areas? Detroit, the Bronx, Indianapolis?
I feel at home at those places, to be honest.
Same.
And I feel more safe there than I'm in these other places. So
I know that sounds
weird, but as soon as I hit those places, I just feel like I made it home. I know that's weird.
Do you feel that the wrestling crowds are more appreciative of you in those areas?
To be honest with you, I'm not even sure. I'm not sure. Maybe. You know what? I have been up north and they don't really like me too much. I'm very heel up in those places. So, yeah, no, they do like me a lot home.
Well, it's like they say in I'm Coming Home off Riddlebox, the ghetto got love and the love is all good. So there you go.
When I was a kid, Times Square wasn't good. You get mugged in Times Square.
Yeah, no, Times Square used to have all that extra stuff over there, right? That XXX stores and all that. Yeah, that was wild.
Now they just have Vinny Pacifico.
Shout out to Vinny.
Times Square.
Well,
by the way,
that's
so
definitely
happy
a bad. That's definitely a bad area if he's there.
Yeah. Well, look at his bus with the guys in Philly standing up on the street poles. But yeah, man, I'm so excited to have Vinny Pacifico in SPO. I first met him in 2017, you guys, up in Rhode Island at an event I did. 2017, I've known him since. 5, 6, 7, 8 years now.
I first met Vinny Pacifico my second day of wrestling training.
Really?
Yes. Fun fact, he actually used to come and train all the way at East Coast Pro Wrestling before he ever had his first match, before realizing that being a Staten Island native, there was a wrestling school in Staten Island. So he quickly started going there before he decided to become a school hopper. Vinny's trained pretty much everywhere that there is to train in the immediate area. I believe he spent some time training with Hunter Delirious over at the Ring of Honor dojo for a time. You know, he's done as much traveling as an independent wrestler can possibly do. You know, I can't say enough about Vinny Pacifico. You know, he's world traveled for, you know, just a young man his age. And I'm really excited that after all these years, the 25th anniversary, you know, Vinny Pacifico will be making his SPO wrestling debut.
Yeah. And he talked great about you guys. When I talked to him on the phone, all he did was talk about how much he loves you guys.
We got nothing but love for Vinny.
Hell yeah. Tommy, remember the win, the Wrestling Is Now show we were at where they used Vinny Pacifico in the Battle Royal? Do you remember that, Tommy?
When they used Vinny Pacifico in the Battle Royal for what?
For win. Wrestling Is Now?
Yes.
You remember how he hit that thing as a house of fire and just destroyed everyone and me, you, and your brother?
Yes.
Screaming in the crowd?
Yes, we were marking out huge for that. I remember that because that was the same Rumble that that Pat Dynamite was in, and we were cheering for Pat. Yes. Yeah, that was right. Awesome. He came in and he wrecked house. Oh my God, do I remember that was
awesome. You're like, yeah. He was clotheslining people, knocking them the fuck. It was great.
It was like, I don't know what it was, but it felt like something that you would see like on television, but like filmed like close up. Maybe it's because we were watching at the Elks Lodge and we were watching from like behind the door through that mirror. So we saw was Vinny, and Vinny looked so yoked up, and the way he just hit the ring and just laid dudes out, I was like, yeah.
And he was on one of his double shots, of course.
Yes. That night. Yes, of course he was.
He's a great person, great talent. We definitely got to have him back at Wrestling Is Now. Totally. Excited to see him at SPO, see what he's going to do. I know you're going to come up with something crazy that's going to shock everybody.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Pat Dynamite. We got Pat Dynamite back. So this little graphic depicts him as the reason King Daka got imploded. Did you guys see King Daka in Great Adventure get...
Yes,
that was pretty neat.
That, unfortunately, I used to go all the time to
Six Flags. I love King Daka. It's one of my favorite roller coasters.
And then Zoom and Jaro too got, you know, was with it. I used to always go to Zoom and Jaro. When I get to the top, I used to ask myself, why did I get on this ride?
Right.
Why?
Right. Why do I do this to myself? When Great Adventure opened, it was Free Fall was the big thing.
Yeah, I've been on.
You remember that?
Yeah. It was like 200 feet tall. At the time, that was like the biggest thing. And then the roller coasters got so big that Free Fall looked like a little piece of crap. So they had to take it off. But that was like the scariest thing I went on when I was a kid.
That's right. And then King Daka, there it is. And then do you notice
That's supposed to be the Garbage Pail Kids?
Yes! I can't believe you knew that.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's actually Adam Bomb. Not season one. Series one, card one.
Wow.
That was the very first one that ever came out. Yeah, so.
That's crazy. That's classic. Yeah, man.
Garbage Pail Kids were the shiz back then. Hell yeah. Well, we still have Donnie coming up in a little bit. Rob said, King Daka had a view of New York City and Philly. See, I didn't know that. When you were on the top, you could see Philly and New York from King Daka.
Coach, what it do? Salute.
Wow. So I don't know if you guys saw this, but this got announced. The 20th anniversary of Star Wars Episode III, Revenge of the Sith, returns to theaters the same weekend as our event, April 25th.
I saw a poster that was better than this. No disrespect.
Well, we had to. We had to remake there that you poster. Go. I remade there you it go. In my own. We remade it.
That's the mom. That's
you were supposed to join the. You were supposed to defeat the Sith, not join them.
I love it.
Yes, you know what's funny is.
Go ahead.
I'm not even like a huge Star Wars fan like that. Like,
yeah, you're really not.
I acknowledge its importance, but I'm really like, And I know the general consensus, but I'm not like deeply like a fan of it, if that makes sense. But I distinctly remember when this movie came out, Revenge of the Sith, because it was everywhere. And the and it was like, for some reason, when Anakin finally turned heel, it was all people were talking about in the media. Like, didn't we know this was going to happen? Right. Because it's a prequel series and everything. Like, why are people so heartbroken about the fact that, like, Anakin turns heel? Is like, isn't this what we've waited for? Like, the creation of Darth Vader? But people were just so heartbroken that, like, this attractive guy, Hayden Christensen, like, would just turn heel and kill all these kids and everything. It was, like, horrible.
Oh, he did. He killed the little Jedi-lings.
That's right. And then he choked he choked his wife out, Padme, right?
Yeah, but I don't think he killed her.
He didn't kill her,
Padme,
but
did he? No, I didn't.
No, but he choked her out, and then she died at birth.
He choked her out. The Kata Hajime.
I had a tap.
Yeah, Anakin did turn heel, but then he turned face at the very end and was able to go to heaven and be a Force ghost. So it was a happy ending.
Spoiler alert.
Yep, Force ghost. That would be a good gimmick in wrestling. Someone that like painted themselves all that light color and just came out as a Force ghost. Like they're a.
You know, for someone who is really not a Star Wars fan, you know, I must say it's probably the most pro wrestling story in all of like nerd culture. And speaking of pro wrestling, guys, could we talk about this monumental heel turn with John Cena? For a minute, like it was, I didn't see it live, but it was probably the one like time, like recently, since in a long time, I was like, damn, like I kind of wish I was there to witness that. It was cool that like being on a show and not like getting to watch it, but like the fact that 22 years have gone since we had a heel John Cena, like I'm excited. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm a Hollywood Rock fan. And to me, like, heel John Cena, when he would rap, was peak heat. You know what I'm saying? He knew how to piss the people. He knew how to piss people off more than anybody. So what do you guys
think? At that time with John Cena, too, since I'm so into the culture, I knew everybody he copied for all of his gimmicks, his laughs, all his lyrics, everything that he was doing. I knew who he was taking it from.
Right.
Yeah, all that. You know, that was Jada. The hand, mm-hmm. That's Tony Yayo. He mm-hmm. just had a whole bunch of stuff that he just took from the culture.
The G-Unit, the chain gang, that was just G-Unit.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That was the G-Unit, you know, with the spinner. And then he had the Dust Your Shoulders Off from Jay-Z. When he used to do the,
yeah.
So everything was just...
But what I like personally... was at WrestleMania 19 when he did the battle rap and he dissed Fabulous and Jay-Z. You know what I'm saying? Like people don't realize like what this is going to mean for wrestling promos. It's like, I need people to go back in time and they need to watch 03 Cena when he would just rap. You know what I'm saying? Like when he would freestyle rap and he would constantly cut promos. John Cena's promos were a problem.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He definitely got a lot of heat.
Oh, he got so much, dude. He got so much heat. Fans used to come up to him like at conventions or at shows and like battle rap him just because they like, you know, people knew that Cena wasn't a thug in real life. They knew he was just some white boy from West Newbury or but the dude could rap. You know what I'm saying? Like that's one thing. Like the dude could freestyle, you know, maybe not to the degree that like some backpack New Yorker, but like he wasn't going to like, you know, he wasn't going to get shut out.
It was enough to get him.
It was enough. And he was a big muscular dude. So he had credibility to it. So, but now for it to happen in 22 years later, it's like, oh no, he's got 22 years of anger of all of these people saying, you know, John Cena sucks. And, you know, saying that he killed the business and this and that. It's like, people aren't ready for what's about to happen.
I agree. What do you think is about to happen?
For the first time ever, I don't know and I don't want to know because if we're to believe that this is Cena going out into the sunset, then I want it to be as pure and as like authentic as possible. I'm not going to pick it apart. The fact that like it happened, maybe it happened a little bit later. Like maybe it could have happened when he was working a regular schedule, but I understand why it didn't, because the business was just in a position where they couldn't do that. People don't realize something that when they turned Austin heel back in 01, they threw money out the window. You know what I'm saying? That, you know, ratings went down and they had nothing to do because their top draw was the Austin McMahon feud. So to turn Cena heel, who was going to be their top babyface? I mean, yeah, you could have argued that it was Punk, but they turned Punk heel because Punk is, again, a better heel than he is a babyface. Cena was a better babyface in hindsight because he was able to sell so much merchandise for so long consistently. You know what I'm saying? The amount of money they would have lost with a Cena heel turn at any given point during a full-time schedule would have just been a deficit. So I think it's perfect for them to do it now, because now he's white hot. The attention is on him and people are talking.
You know what I'm hoping happens? I'm hoping that this becomes a heel stable of all men who have outgrown the wrestling business through Hollywood. So in other words, like imagine Batista and Hulk Hogan round out the foursome. That would be sick.
The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Well,
Batista
and
lost a lot of weight though.
Yeah, but he looks like he's in shape to get in the ring, doesn't he?
Gotcha.
I'm just spitballing.
But I like that, John, because that could actually work, because here's I was explaining this to my brother and Brian Zane the other day. We were in the car home. That's what I forgot to talk about, was the Maccabee Mania, but we can discuss that in a little bit. When Donnie B gets on, we'll review the Maccabee Mania with the great Brian Zane, but I digress. Right. But Cena, in his promo with The Rock all these years ago, was getting on The Rock for doing exactly what Cena's doing now, or would go on to do, you know, like leaving WWE and going to Hollywood. He's gone on record basically saying, I was foolish, I was stupid. You know what I'm saying? Like, The Rock is absolutely, you know, a genius for what he did. He opened doors for all of us to be able to go and make money. He opened the doors for WWE. And because Rock was able to come back more or less in a regular full-time position without necessarily needing to wrestle full-time, the story comes full circle, because Rock basically publicly turned around and said, top that, Cena. You know what I'm saying? I can do all of this as a heel and make you eat your words that much more. So now it gives Cena that chip on his shoulder that he's needed for so long, because for so long, since 2005, people have said, oh, he's Super Cena. He has no chink in his armor. There's nothing. Basically, all of the complaints that people would levy against Superman as a Batman fan, which, to be fair, I'm a Batman fan. Johnny's a Batman fan. So, you know what I mean? By nature, it's in our nature to hate someone like John Cena on principle alone, until you realize that Cena started out as a heel, as one of the very best heels in the business.
I got to agree with that. What do you think, Skills? What do you think is going to happen with all this?
I don't know, man. I'm excited, though. It's the last time, you know, I don't remember the last time I was actually excited to watch wrestling. I know it was getting really hot and everything like that, but now it's like it just hit the fan.
Mm-hmm.
You think there's going to be more guys?
I don't know, man. Somebody just asked me that too. They were like, yo, what's the biggest the heel turn? And when I said John Cena, they didn't know what the hell I was talking about. They're like, well, I was like, yeah, that just happened, bro. And I think they could be talking about that for a long time.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. I don't know how I feel about it yet. I want to wait and see what happens, because I mean, Cena's, he's the peacemaker, and they're saying that's like one of the best shows. Like, it's really doing good on Max. And like, even when they revamped a lot of the other DC shows, they didn't revamp that one. They're keeping it as it is. So, you know, I don't know. I'm surprised that he would turn heel, but I guess America in general is now so used to wrestling being mainstream that they can actually accept a heel in wrestling who is a face in Hollywood.
That's just like Rock.
Just like Rock. But like back in the day, that didn't really happen. Like when Hogan turned heel, he was a heel in Hollywood too. Like he would go to the movie sets as Hollywood Hogan being a heel, you know what I mean?
Like, right.
But I feel like now people have evolved and fans have evolved to understand wrestling so much that they get that, no, we can boo the heel on TV, on wrestling, and then still go watch his TV show.
I think people also know that Cena is an IRL good guy for the most part. Like, you know, I think that people were always sort of skeptical of Terry for that. And even to this point, you know, today, I think people know that The Rock is, you know, a generally good person and, you know, does right by the people. So I think it's that too. I think it's just, it's in that era. I think we are past, we're starting to really get past the celebrity worship and the hero worship of the 90s. And we sort of have moved on to the parasocial conformity of today, where everything is sort of like held to like an impossibly high standard. But I think it's true what you just said, Johnny, in that, yeah, you could boo the baby face and heel on wrestling shows. And then, you know, in real life, it's like, you know, no, it's okay. They still put out good content and whatnot. And, you know, I don't necessarily think that Cena's, the fact that he's not on wrestling week in and week out, I don't necessarily think holds the same weight for those shows. Whereas if he were a babyface in a regularly scheduled like contract, you get what I'm saying?
You know, think of it from a kid's perspective too. Heel turns teach kids about the world and about reality. I remember being a little kid at my grandma's watching Manny Fernandez turn heel. That was the first heel turn I ever saw in my life, and I'll never forget it. And I never forget looking at my grandma. I'm like, what just happened? I couldn't, you know, because you're used to watching real sports.
Right.
You don't turn heel on a football gridiron, you know? So I'm like, what just happened? Like it freaked me out. And like for days I couldn't. And every time I saw Manny, my mind was maybe he'll turn back being a good guy right now. Mm-hmm. And he never did, you know? So like, imagine what these kids are going through. You know, like Chris Bristow told me the other day, his kid was depressed yesterday.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Like,
it's not awesome that the kid is depressed, but it's awesome that it's affecting, like, it still works.
It's so mainstream, too. Like, wrestling is so mainstream right now.
Well, right? That's why, yeah, it is. And that's another reason why I'm excited, because I'm curious to see how far it's going to go. Like Wrestling Cost said, you know, screw them kids. I think it's awesome that wrestling is popular enough that something like that, you know, would get people talking. You know what I mean?
And I feel like with social media, it makes it more personal. Like back in the day, Terry and Hogan and you know, Hulk, they were like so separate. You know, John Cena to who he is now, to who people think he is in real life, they're the same people. So it's like people see it a lot different now. Before, they were separate. Not now. Now it's all together.
You were saying before about like the main event scene. You know, I was actually going to say that point too. You know, in the Rumble, I was like thinking to myself, like watching it on TV, I was like, wow, this is like the most stacked the main event scene has looked in a very, very long time. And it's crazy to think that it doesn't involve one of the big four of the Attitude Era, meaning Austin, Rock, Triple H, or Undertaker.
Or Vince.
The big five, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's crazy to think that, you know, and even so, you know, like, will Rock wrestle again? You know, I don't know if that's 100%, you know, like, confirmed or denied. I personally feel like he will, but at this point, he's not going to wrestle unless it's a WrestleMania. You know, there's no reason for him to. They could tease every waking minute, you know, and get everything without him having to take a single bump again. That's just, you know, that's how it is. That's how stacked the bloodline is.
Would you say that The Rock is, if we had to choose one quintessential, perfect physical specimen of what a pro wrestler should be on a main event level, is he not the timeless?
100%.
And we can't even get him to friggin' wrestle.
100%. Because you think of it like this. At The Rock's peak, could cut a good promo, could do more than five moves, meaning, you know, it was more than just the rock bottom, the people's elbow, you know, the spine. Like he was regularly busting shit out. You know, he would do the float over DDT into the nip up. You know, he would do the sharpshooter. You know, he would do some shit. You know what I mean? It wasn't just three moves. So he had a move set for a guy like that. So good promos, good wrestling, good matches, good look. Good gear in and out of the ring, meaning, you know, like when, like he wasn't looking like a slob, like he pulled off the Adidas track suits and tank top look just as hard as he did the $600 look with the fresh shades and all that. So to answer your question, it's that there really wasn't anything that he didn't succeed at.
But I mean, just him now, take the snapshot of him standing in the ring with when Cena turned heel and just look at The Rock. He's the perfect pro wrestler of all time. And we can't even get him to wrestle right now. But I mean, right now, the physical shape he's in right now, I would love to see him wrestle. I would love
it. Oh, 100%. 100%. If he did it regularly, that would be phenomenal. I think if you took the ratings of the Attitude Era and you applied them to today, I think it would be a completely different story. I think the fact that let's just get down to brass tacks. You know, The Rock is an actor. They're not going to, there's no insurance in the world that would cover him to get in the ring and wrestle night in and night out beyond just a WrestleMania payout. You know what I'm saying? Like there's no way to slice it where it would make money for him to wrestle on free TV. You know what I'm saying? Because he has so many movie projects, he would have to completely drop out of all of those. But to answer your question, yes, he has the perfect look. He has the perfect embodiment of what a pro wrestler should be. I don't think we're going to get that again in this lifetime, personally.
You know, Z-Bar used to say that about Randy Orton back in like 05, 06. And now I think the guy's The Rock now. I think he's literally the perfect specimen of what a wrestler should be. You see, he passes the air. You see him walking through the airport. You're going to stop and go, holy shit, what's this guy? You know,
they don't make him like that no more.
They sure don't.
And with the way Hogan got reacted to on the first Netflix Raw, if they bring him out as a heel and put him with Cena and Rock, dude, I'll start watching again. I'll tell you right now, I'll start watching again.
You know, I in one world, I don't think that would, like, I think that would be the greatest thing ever, but in today's standards, because of how jaded everybody is, they would turn around and it wouldn't be the fact that it was all these heels. It would be, why are they putting Hogan with Cena? It's just, you know, they would say Cena siding with a racist and da 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 da, you know, all this other BS.
Right. Like the Canadians booing the national anthem.
Yeah.
The hockey.
Well, but I mean,
started fighting right away.
You know, it is what it is. Things have gotten crazy, man. This has been a fun week, especially if you don't mind watching the world burn.
I think Terry would get so much heat that they would cheer Cena again.
That might be true.
That might be true. That would be called angle hotshotting. Would be putting Terry in there.
Well, guys, we'll keep talking about this, but real quick, I want to say we're a week and a half away from our first press conference next Thursday, March 13th, 7:30 p.m. at the Phoenix Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall, 4936 Penn L Road, Ashton Township, Pennsylvania. Used to be called Gatsby's. Now it's Phoenix. So we're going to be there for our big press conference. We have a lot of announcements that night. And next week, next Monday, we're going to have a pre-show and we are going to preview the press conference, and it will be streaming live on YouTube when it happens on Thursday, March 13th. So far guaranteed to be there. We have live performances by Chester's own Nail, the Hood Prince Charming, as well as Lavari. And we're going to find out Tay Rock and Velcro's opponents and much, much more. It'll be streamed at SpoWrestling.com. Skills, I hear you might be in the house.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be there.
Nice.
Starting some trouble, you know, do what I do.
I like it. We got to get some drink specials and stuff. We'll start announcing all that stuff next week. This week we have a lot more to announce, so definitely stay tuned to our Spo Wrestling on Instagram, because we're going to be announcing a lot more stuff coming up real soon. And it all kicks off at the press conference. That's really the kickoff event, guys.
Catch that live.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to miss the press conference. Be there in person.
Free admission.
Free admission. That's it. But yeah, so guys, we can get back to talking about the heel turns real quick. So let me ask you guys this. Did either of you remember the Andre the Giant heel turn when it happened?
I wasn't alive, bro.
Yeah, no, I saw it like later on.
Right. I saw it live on TV. Yeah. That I almost cried when he
happy go lucky guy his whole career, correct?
Yeah, and he tore Hulk Hogan's chain off him. I don't know if that was purposeful or if it just happened.
Oh, that was in the barbershop, correct?
Yep. And I remember Andre must have had, like, he must not have clipped his nails right.
Bleeding. Yeah. Because
he made Hogan bleed in the chest when he grabbed the dude. I remember being a kid. I was scared. I was like, what is happening right now? Like, this is just too much. Because you figure that would have been, what, 85?
No.
So I would have been like 7.
No, was it 85?
86. No, they worked. No, they worked 87, I'm pretty sure. 85 was the first WrestleMania.
So 87. So I would have been 9, 8.5, 9 years old. Yeah, it freaked me out, man. I was just like, Andre is a bad
Andre
guy.
Andre was so beloved, right? He was like the super baby face at the time, correct?
Dude, super baby face. Like, they would have to have him wrestle 3 guys just to make it look legit. You know what I mean?
Wow.
But that was one of the better heel turns ever, man.
Everybody thought he was going to beat Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Andre turned leading up to, like the first day of the build-up to WrestleMania was the day Andre turned. So it's not like he was already turned and they had a whole year program. It came out of nowhere. It happened in like January and WrestleMania was in like April.
So what I've always kind of been curious and, you know, maybe you guys could sort of clear it up a little bit. Because they didn't have weekly television at the time. Because the territories were a thing. So only obviously New York would, you know, see the WWF shows and whatnot. Is that how they were sort of able to finagle the history and say, and build Hogan Andre up? Because to the WWF, like, they were able to sell it as this dream match, even though Hogan and Andre had worked, you know, like several times over.
Yeah, but no one remembered them working.
Yeah, and the people in the city definitely wouldn't have known that they worked in the South.
Because
there was no way to watch it.
Because it was a new territory. I see. So
the first time I saw anything Southern here was like WCW when it started coming out, and then I started seeing those wrestlers. But for the most part, I didn't even know WWE was a territory. I thought it was like the biggest thing in the world. And when I found out there was other territories and the NWA and everything, I was like, wow, like, I was living in a great territory that ended up becoming like the biggest company in the world.
Dude, Skills, when I got in the wrestling business and veterans would talk about WWE, they would just call it New York. I'm going to go do a shot up in New York for a while. Or Atlanta, they would say, for WCW. But it was just known as New York. Now, what's funny is Titan Towers was in Connecticut.
Yeah.
But it was still known as New York because
Madison Square Garden. Yeah, exactly.
Most you want to run wind in Madison Square Garden? I feel like that's coming. Crazy.
So I guess that kind of answers my question, is that, you know, obviously with Vince branding WrestleMania, that was sort of when the whole, like, pro wrestling the monoculture of the WWF had sort of started to resonate there. So they were able to build Hogan and Andre up as if it were this big dream match, because it took place in Pontiac as opposed to typically where it would happen in the Shea Stadiums.
Right. Yep. Bad area. WrestleMania was in a bad area in Pontiac that year.
That's right.
Pontiac, Michigan. I think that's where the Pontiac factory was too.
It's the same area that, that we wrestled at just under a year ago, when the Backseat Boys took on Ace Austin and Jake Crist in Pontiac, Michigan.
And you still haven't made it out alive. You're still there.
I'm still there.
Trapped. Part of me is like the Macho Man shirt.
Part of me is still, you know, hanging out in Pontiac just to this day. Part of me still hanging out in Cleveland. Part of me still hanging out in Thornville, Ohio. Part of me still hanging out at Johnny's, you know, house over in Cherry Hill.
Part of me still hanging out of boxer shorts. I get it.
Yep. So part of me while I burst.
So guys, we had Angel Metro over to the house today. I had to clean up the whole house for her because we're filthy.
Phenomenal.
We had to make it nice for her. We had her over. We had Ruthie last week. Mm-hmm. We're starting to be a presentable house. We're starting to be able to have guests, and I like it, guys. It's going good. This is fun. Thanks for being here for season 5.
Yeah, we just can't mess it up, you know? So I had to go outside and smoke.
There you go.
There you go.
Tommy, real quick before we go off the air, why don't you tell us about Johnny Rods? The trainer of Feral Face, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So yesterday, my brother and I had the distinct honor of appearing for the Maccabeamania, which was a show put on by the legendary Hebrew Hammer, operated by Tommy Fierro's ISPW Wrestling. The event was held in, I believe, Linden, New Jersey. And myself and my brother were managed by Wrestling with Regret's own Brian Zane, who's a YouTube personality. You should go and check him out. And we took on our arch nemesis, Colt Cabana. Now, for those of you who are not aware, we've developed a bit of a rivalry with Mr. Colt over the last year, because no matter where we go, whether we're up in Toronto, whether we're in JCW on the road or at the gathering, Colt goes and sticks his nose in my business. And yesterday it was about defending the Jewish championship, and his argument was Zane. So we were the hired guns for Mr. Brian Zane. And wouldn't you know it, right as we were about to, the three of us, get our revenge, WWF Hall of Famer Johnny Rods, 83 years old, walked his body out and proceeded to beat the ever-living dust out of the three of us.
That is so awesome. No, sorry for y'all, but wow.
What you didn't see was the shattered dreams that my brother took, or the Stone Cold Stunner that I took from Colt Cabana. But you did see the Scott Hall cell.
What's a Shattered Dreams? Remind me.
It's Goldust's finisher, when he has you up in the corner with your legs perched up on the buckle, and then a little kick to the groin.
Who took that one?
My brother. The camera missed it.
And the camera missed it. Lovely.
The camera missed it. Yeah. So, but they didn't miss Johnny Rods. So, you know, shouts out to the homie Trippin' Balls. I met him at Grindhouse, actually. I don't sure right now, but yes, met Trippin' Balls. Trippin' Balls is, of course, the son of legendary wrestler Crusher Bones, who, of course, was a legendary opponent of our homie Too Tough Tony. So
wait a minute. So Trippin' Balls is not related to Balls Mahoney?
No. He's the son of Crusher Bones. It's a play on words. He's tripping balls.
Got it. As opposed to tripping bones, which would have worked too. But
whatever. Yeah.
Good stuff. But, all right. So Johnny Rod. So maybe we'll get the video footage of that next week if you have it. Send it to
me. We'll get the video footage. Shouts out to Trippin' Balls for that. And if you haven't seen it, go check out Maccabeamania live on Wrestling with Regrets on YouTube. And I think Monday Night Raw is about to start. So everyone have a great night while we get ready for some Monday Night Raw.
Heel turns for everyone, guys. Have a great week. Thanks, Skills.
Whoop, whoop.